The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. With a high of 41. 11 after 8, we have the Kim Komando digital update coming up here. We're looking at about 29 degrees, still pretty frozen and a little bit of foggy sort of thing. That will burn off to just kind of foggy and glop, or just cloudy and glop, I think, with the snow and all the rest of it. Although I must say, Southern Oregon looks very clean and it looks very clean and pretty under all of the snow. That is for sure. A lot of people sending me their pictures. Best of luck. I know Francine, by the way, had mentioned that it's taking ski poles for her to go out there and walk and get across the street in order to see neighbors. And I have some hiking poles. I think I'm going to start keeping those in the car there too, Francine. I'm right there with you, okay? Price of gold this morning is seeming to indicate that they're still looking for more. Let me see if I can get you the latest here. I always go to Burt's Gold page on Lou Rockwell, get the current one. 2870. Yesterday I was talking to you about it was 2830. Day before that, it was 2806. This is still reflecting not inflation, because the dollar is actually very strong right now. So it's not the standard thing. We have strong dollar and extremely strong gold at the moment. And what this is seeming to me to indicate is the possibility of disorder, tumult, and uncertainty of what is going on. And this is where gold and, to a lesser extent, silver really shines. By the way, silver has popped up more over the last few days, now pushing 32, 33 bucks an ounce there, somewhere in there. It is not too late to either, get some, or if you're looking at these prices saying, hey, I'm selling right now, maybe I think this is a peak. One way or the other, talk to Jay Austin. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street. Knowing them, even in spite of the weather, they'll be there today, unless they tell me otherwise. That's just the way they roll. Also, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment. And you can call 482-3715 to set up your appointment, and Mark will meet you up there. But they know these markets, they help you out, and they're big about you keeping physical gold and silver within your control and not putting it, like all of the national firms are saying, putting it into a gold-backed IRA, which of course is then known by the federal government if things ever go a little sketchy. Now, I know we have President Trump right now, but who knows what happens? You can't predict the future. But I would just as soon keep it out of the view of the Fed. Just saying, okay? And you can do this. Talk to your financial advisor, then talk to Jay Austin. Ashland, Grants Pass, FortuneReserve.com. Kim Komando's digital update. That's in a matter of seconds. Always great info.
This hour of the... Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River. In South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
Schools are closed this morning. Probably will be closed tomorrow, maybe even the day after that. I know the weather has really blown a hole through the educational process. But when you look at the test scores, boy, I don't know. Maybe we're just avoiding some of the damage. I don't know. That sounds a little cynical. Maybe I shouldn't be this way, but Rob Schlauffer joins me. He's working to try to fight and vanquish my cynicism in the public education system. And he is one of the people involved in the Oregon Education Project. OregonEd.info is the website there. Rob, I know that it was kind of a little too snowy and... You just don't want to be on the road if you can help it this morning, but I'm glad you could get on the phone. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I much prefer being live in the studio to have a real conversation, but I'm happy to be here. And it's a really critical time right now for education, particularly in Oregon.
You ended up having a talk with some state legislators last week, and this is kind of going down into, all right, there's the Trump administration, and then there's the Oregon Department of Education. No doubt they will not see eye to eye. But on the other hand, the Trump administration ends up holding sway then over grant stream funding. And that should make right. The Oregon Department of Education really set up and take notice. And I'm sure they couldn't be happy, because we are looking at what, 10 to 15% of public school funding could be at risk if certain school policies continue in the Oregon public school system. Is that a fair assessment of what's going on?
It is. And, my estimate is about 11%.
11. But still, that's significant. That's a significant amount of money. Sure.
Yeah. And it's particularly targeting grant monies that go to provide materials that are used in classrooms, and you know, what exactly is ODE investing those funds in? And you know, just to back up a minute, in case people don't know, last Wednesday the Trump administration issued an executive order called "Ending Indoctrination," ending radical indoctrination in K through 12 schools. And it really focuses on two things. One is this radical gender ideology, which I know you've talked about a lot over the last couple of years, which is very widespread in some Oregon school districts. And the other side is what they call ending discriminatory equity ideology, which is another way of talking about the presence of critical race theory and intersectionality in schools, which, you know, popularly people talk about identity politics.
At the source of it, though, is it essentially, you know, everybody hates on Whitey and Whitey has to feel embarrassed to be Whitey. And then, you know, Whitey needs to do something about it. Is it that simple or a little more complex?
Well, it's a little more complex. And in fact, you know, I'm doing this talk Saturday, you know, weather permitting, where we're going to look at woke education and what that means.
Okay. Before you do that, before you go into this talk then, where is it going to be and what time?
It's going to be Saturday, 6 o'clock, Saturday at the Medford Library. Again, weather permitting, if we have to cancel because of the weather, we'll probably redo it on Zoom. But the real focus is, what do we mean by woke education? And we will look at what the Trump administration is talking about when it says discriminatory equity ideology. And really what equity is really about from the educational perspective, or the ODE and the state believe that the reason why there are disparities between people of color and white people and Asians, which, by the way, they tend to
lump them with whites, don't they?
Right, they do much better, and they believe it's because our schools are plagued with white supremacy, that students of color are subject to racial trauma in the schools. And again, that's their language, and the whole equity paradigm really is about redistributing wealth and power. And we want to see more teachers of color. And again, there may be some, you know, again, you know, I don't want to just completely dismiss.
Yeah, there may be some value in some of what's being discussed, but the overall agenda appears to be, it's kind of like, and like I said, you're not a conservative or a liberal, you know, up there in this organization. You really are kind of a politically neutral kind of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're doing your best to try to dig into this, but this agenda that the ODE and the state have signed into is arguably what the president of the United States has targeted in these executive orders, saying, hey, you're not going to get the money if you're pushing this stuff. So you got to pay attention to it, right?
Right, exactly. And I want to make this clear, because what the real issue from our perspective, it's the ideology. It really is a Marxist-inspired ideology that has taken over the educational establishment over the last 20, 25, 30 years. And so this is not about, doing away with efforts to get, for example, stories of black pioneers in school books and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. This is not in any way about trying to go back to an era when people of color were not represented. No, this is about getting the ideology which is driving this out of the schools.
And I appreciate you saying that, too, because there's nothing wrong with having a more complete picture of Oregon history, as an example, that may have been overlooked. Perfectly fine, you know?
Yep.
That's smart. And there's a reason why we have revisionist history. But how the way revisionist history has been in practice over the, I would say, the last 10, 20 years here, Rob, you probably agree with me on this, is that whatever was good about America has to be trashed, and then it has to be replaced with essentially education being a struggle session coming from the neo-Marxists, you know, and anything that was good, nothing good ever came from the past there. Everything was evil. You need to hate the system even right now that you're in. I mean, that's really where we are. It's what you're talking about with this ideology, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And that is the problem with critical race theory. And the RB Times posted the last comment that was made. You know, we had five speakers at the Medford School Board meeting a couple of weeks ago. And they published the comments from the last speaker that really underscores the fact that this is really about this very cynical view of America and race in America that's put forward by critical race theory. And it's the idea that America is irredeemably systemically racist. And that has been completely bought. You know, the Oregon Department of Education, particularly through its standards, the new social science standards and also the transformative SEL standards, both embrace this idea.
And by the way, SEL, for people who don't know, that's social emotional learning, if I recall, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Which has been around for quite a while, but more recently it has become, you could say it's become woke with, that's what transformative SEL is. It now grounds SEL in the same perspective from critical race theory. So the real issue here is that our standards have bought into this idea that America is systemically racist. And what that means is that there is a racial hierarchy in America that's been established, and it's something that's been established unwittingly that promotes white success and penalizes people of color, and that permeates all of the standards that come down from the Oregon Department of Education. So students in Medford, for example, are, when they're told to look at American history, they have to assume that America is systemically racist, which is something I pointed out to our local curriculum director. It's, they're not given the opportunity to just think about it. You know, might this be true? Is this one way of looking at it?
It is just bloom. It's just boom. The country is racist. You're a victim of that racism if you're a person of color. Hence, goodies for you. And I know I'm kind of, you know, cutting to a chase, I guess. Maybe that's not entirely accurate, but that is sort of the goal, isn't it?
Right. Well, and that's the assumed framework. And again, this doesn't allow for students to really think critically about these issues. Now, granted, at the local level here in Medford, for example, we have people that are very much committed to making sure that we are not indoctrinating students. And again, I've talked to the head of the curriculum team. They're very much on board with the idea that the students really do need to think critically about that. The problem, though, is the standards don't. The standards don't really spell that out very clearly, which is why our goal is to get into local schools, local school districts, and actually work with the curriculum directors and the teams that are producing curriculum and are driving what's taught in the classrooms to make sure that students are not being indoctrinated with stuff. And again, that's going to take boots on the ground.
And speaking of the boots on the ground, do you think that it actually is going to, that maybe actually getting into the curriculum direction side of things may be the most effective way to reform public education?
Absolutely. And just as an aside about this executive order, I was in Salem Thursday, the day after this, and I talked to several GOP representatives. Of course, the Democrats are going to be completely against this. One of my concerns is that Republicans and conservatives are going to see this executive order and say, oh, problem solved. Trump's going to go in. He's going to withhold money. This is going to get a lot of scrutiny. Now, the executive order says that the president is put together, is going to have has given 90 days, you know, for the various department heads to come up with a plan, a strategic plan for exactly how we're going to do that. And when they roll out that plan, you can expect that there are going to be legal challenges left and right, because there is precedent within the government statutes to keep the federal agencies out of curriculum. Curriculum is supposed to be a local issue. It's not just a state issue.
Yeah, but if the school district is being paid for curriculum, or if, you know, other expenses are being paid by the federal government, he who is bringing the gold tends to have to call the shots, usually. Is that not the case?
Yeah, that is true. But again, these legal challenges could very well kind of nip that in the bud, could stop that.
So in spite of the executive orders, people who are looking for a higher quality, less ideological school district and school experience for their kids and grandkids are going to have to be involved in this, and don't just fall asleep and think that an executive order from one president who's going to be out in, you know, less than 4 years is going to solve this. In other words, this is really where you're coming from, Rob.
Hmm? Yeah, exactly. And that's really, and that was one of the reasons why I was hoping that, you know, what I really wanted to get on and call, because this is not a time for people who are concerned about this issue to sit back and relax. We really do need people to get involved in their local schools. And again, here in Medford, I think we have a great opportunity to provide balance. The school district, I think, is more than willing to work with parents on these kinds of issues. But they're kind of stuck in the middle. You know, they're stuck with the situation where, again, Oregon is driving this. Tina Kotek has said repeatedly that she's going to push back on the Trump administration when it comes to Oregon values. And diversity, equity, and inclusion is an Oregon value.
Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a Democratic Party value in Oregon. It is not necessarily an Oregon value, the bulk of the population. I think most parents are hoping that their children will go through the public school system and know stuff and be functional and be competent. And, you know, it's not about their social values in all ways. But it seems to be a very strange set of priorities that you've been talking about. Okay.
I think you're really getting on what the real issue is, because the very next day after the president's executive order came out, we got the test scores from the National Center for Educational Statistics, which is the kind of the gold standard measuring where students are with reading and math, nationwide, state by state.
And if I know how the statistics have been going for Oregon, it probably didn't look good, did it?
No, Oregon is actually at the very, they're not just at the bottom, they are the bottom. The Urban Institute did an analysis of the data. And Oregon is 51 out of 51. And the reason, it's really important to ask, you know, why is this? And some of it does have to do with the focus that Oregon has on woke education. The number one state right now is Louisiana. And Louisiana and Oregon are a study in contrast. Louisiana, for the last, 10 years, has been very focused on reading and math. They invested in high-level curriculum for reading and math, and they've been able to get that into about 90% of their schools. They're completely focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they have deliberately stayed away from all the educational fads that become distractions, like diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, with Oregon seeing the results of these tests and understanding that our kids aren't doing well at all, and other kids that are coming out of districts that are just concentrating on truly what the school is meant to do are thriving, wouldn't that have some effect on saying, hey, maybe we need to back away from this and refocus?
Well, you would think, but again, there's a reason why, Elon Musk talks about the woke mind virus. There's a reason why it's called the woke mind virus. Because this mentality just captures people, and the Oregon State Board of Education and ODE is just so completely absorbed in this. And again, we knew the proficiency was going down starting around 2013, 2014, nationwide. We were seeing lower test scores, lower and lower. The pandemic did a lot of damage, particularly here in Oregon.
And but it also exposed a lot of the rot that was in the educational system. Parents saw it when they were...
Exactly. But in states like Louisiana that were smart said, we have to triple our efforts right now, because now we have a situation where students who were behind are even further behind, and we have to make up that ground. So that's why they doubled down on their focus. Now, what did Oregon do? Oregon has not been working on a high-level curriculum for reading and math. They've been working on curriculum to embed critical consciousness in students. In fact, the new social science standards, they've hired about 1,000 people to get these standards implemented in schools around the state. That's 1,000 people that could be getting high-level reading and math instruction into schools around the state. So it really is, from my perspective, a matter of focus. And one of the reasons why Oregon is at the very bottom is, from what I can tell, out of all the blue states even, Oregon is the most focused on woke education.
And that's what you're hoping to restore some balance over. Rob Schlaffer is one of the many people in the Oregon Education Project, and you can email him, rob@oregoned.info. Oregoned.info is the main website, too. I just want to make sure I got that right. Is that true, Rob?
Yeah, that's right, and they can follow. We'll be putting out, and one of the things we're going to be doing, I have applied to make public comment at the upcoming Oregon State Board of Education meeting next week. And it's interesting, you have to request to make public comment, and you have to tell them what it is you want to talk about. And they have the opportunity to say yes or no. But I'm going to be speaking to this issue, and particularly raising the question about President Trump's executive order, because it seems to me that even though this is going to go into some litigation and there are going to be issues, this ought to give pause to educators all around the state. Surveys around the country show that this is very unpopular, this whole diversity, equity, inclusion, the presence of critical race, all of these things are very unpopular with parents, not only because of the effect that they have in classrooms in terms of actually creating more racial tension, but again, this whole issue of where are the priorities in local school districts.
Yeah, it gets in the way of actual education and also developing skills and competency, which is what parents are hoping their children will get in this system.
Well, exactly. And this is the point I raised in my comments a couple of weeks ago with the Medford School Board, is pursuing social justice and equity, those are not educational pursuits. Those are political pursuits. We need to focus on what are truly educational pursuits. And I'm going to be following up the talk we're doing on Saturday next month. We're going to be looking at how do we get students to succeed. We'll look at the science of learning. We'll look at the value of investing in high-level, high-quality curriculum. We'll look at what cognitive psychology is telling us about how students learn. And what you find is there's a whole host of things that educators are doing that are getting in the way of that. And it comes from the fact that our schools of education are not providing good material and good resources for teachers. Teachers, I think, are kind of stuck in many cases without being given the tools to be able to really create success in the classroom.
Rob Schlaffer, Oregon Education Project. Now, weather permitting, it would be a Saturday, this Saturday at 6 p.m. We'll just have to see how that works out. But one way or the other, go to OregonEd.info to stay in touch with the group. And you're looking for people who will war for a quality education for all children. And I think it is something well worth it. Rob, hang on here a second. We'll see if someone's been on hold and something tells me they got a question or comment on what you're doing. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's Deplorable Patrick. Good morning. I'm not a parent, but I'm a grandpa.
Yeah.
In terms of schools. And when COVID came out, well, you just mentioned this, then the students had to learn from home, and the teachers said, oh, no, now they're going to find out what we've been teaching. And my question for you, is there or could there be a law that they have to report everything they teach, even including cameras in the classroom that you can go online and see, so that they don't get away with this stuff? At least we know. I would love to see a law that they report, they give out a report of everything they teach.
Rob, I don't know if there's anything, if you get into that or not, could you comment with Patrick on that? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a little just off the cuff. That makes me a little nervous. You know, again, teachers are, it's important to say, teachers are not the enemies here.
No.
And again, yeah, I think you've got some teachers who are activists and some teachers who put their political opinions maybe too forcefully in classes. But most teachers right now are struggling with just doing the basics. And there are a lot of things that work against that. I think, again, our strategy is supportive. We need to support teachers. Teachers have a lot of mandates that come, and well, schools in general have a lot of mandates that come down from the Oregon Department of Education, not just mandates with reference to, well, you know, again, woke education. There are all kinds of things that schools and teachers are expected to do. They're not funded for many of these things. So teachers right now are again, they are people that need to be supported. The best way to do that, I would say, is get involved with your local district in a positive way. They are not the enemy. The people who run, you know, Brett Champion and his team, in my opinion, are working hard on this issue. Yes, there are legitimate criticisms that people in the community have, but I think we really need to address those issues in a positive way. And let me say one more thing about what Medford School District has done. That is the chair of the board, Cynthia Wright, at the last meeting, she said, we're going to reset our priorities, even for our monthly public school board meetings. We're going to put student success at the front. We're going to make sure that we are prioritizing student success.
That is a positive development. I'm glad to hear that.
So,
I really am.
And I think the community, and it's kind of like I always, and people who are skeptics, I always say it's the old Reagan adage, trust but verify, trust but verify.
All right. Like I said, I have tired of my cynicism about public education being so richly rewarded. I would love to see it just vanquished. And so I just said, hey, they're doing the right thing, and the kids are getting better education. Everybody wins, you know. And I'll take one more call here before we take off. Thank you for the call there, Patrick. Hi, good morning. You're with Rob Schlaufer from Oregon Education Project.
Hey, this is Lauren, not in Eagle Point.
Hi, Lauren.
Rob, question: do you know how the Eagle Point School District is in this, in kind of in the areas you've been talking about? I'm quite involved in it, and I'm thinking even about running for the school board. But
I think it's a great idea. I think Eagle Point is great for one thing. Emily McIntyre is one of the local representatives. I believe she's the chair. She's been involved. She is one of the best people on this issue that I have talked to.
Good.
I think Eagle Point, in many respects, is can provide a lot of leadership. And they already have. They were able to adjust some of the curriculum requirements coming down from ODE with reference to sex education. So it's a model. Support that district. They've got some really good people.
Rob Schlaufer, once again, we thank you for the time from the Oregon Education Project and on the web, OregonEd.info. And we'll post the information on KMED.com on the Bill Myers Show blog. Rob, always a good thing talking. All right. We'll see you and have you back. Okay.
Love sharing, Bill. Thanks a bunch.
All right. And stay warm. It is 20 before 9. It's a bit of a challenge this morning in the ice and the snow. But this is the Bill Myers Show.
During this
more at clouserdrilling.com.
I'm certainly hoping in all of this interesting weather that we've been having as of late that you don't have to file any insurance claims. You know, whether it's slip and falls or auto accidents or anything else. Hopefully everything is very cool. But I'll tell you, when you do, though, have a claim, it's great to talk to someone who's a friend in the business. And that would be Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park, of course, an independent insurance agency, and in the midst of all of the cancellations and the doubling and tripling of fire coverage and all the rest of it, he's been an oasis of at least, hey, he's going to go to the mat and try to find the best coverage for you and your property and your family, whether it is home and auto or life or rental insurance, all sorts of other things, covers all the lines, works with lots of different companies. Just call 261-5444 to find out more, and he'll give you a quote, 261-5444. Give him a shot, all right? It's been working out really well for me. I got my auto insurance recently, renewal, and I didn't pass out. That was kind of nice, really nice, okay? But on the Medicare side of things, well, we have Lynn Barton, who has now joined the team, too. Her number, 499-0958. A couple of great people. Good service at Sky Park Insurance. SkyParkINS.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Wanted to check in with Randall at Advanced Air on Open for Business, the locally owned and operated business segment that we do now and then, sponsored by, in this case, it is Randall over at Advanced Air, 772-6866. And I would imagine you guys are the, How have I termed it with myself sometimes, Randall? A one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest, and some days the butts are winning. I don't know, but how's it going out there with the weather and the cold, the deep cold especially?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. Yeah, our team is rolling. We've got everybody but a couple of team members that are on board. They were unable to get in because of the road conditions, but we got all vehicles rolling. We're trying to get to as many people as we can who are left without heat. It is difficult, though. Please understand that these road conditions make it hard, if not even impossible in some cases, to reach everybody.
Yeah, if you're having trouble getting out, guess what? You're having trouble getting in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's taken us longer to perform calls and to get to each site. Instead of doing 8 to 12 calls a day, we're doing 4 or 5 calls per technician. And, you know, I know yesterday, for example, we were hiking in to places in Ashland. So big applause for our technicians for trying to reach as many people as we can and taking great measures to do so.
And by the way, Randall's number is 772-6866, 772-6866. And of course, hopefully, if you do have a problem, you're a Comfort Club member. But Comfort Club member is big help because if you are a member over at Advanced Air, myadvancedair.com, you get first priority when it comes time for service, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right, yeah, along with many other benefits.
All right. Hey, tell us about that $1,000 qualifying Bryant equipment rebate there. It's a pretty big thing in case you have blown out your system right now and you're in need of help.
Yeah, absolutely. All Bryant residential retrofits are eligible for an additional up to an additional $1,000 in-house rebate. That is a rebate from Advanced Air, and that is for Bryant ductless and crossover systems. So it's a great savings. It can be stacked with other Energy Trust of Oregon, you know, savings within reach sort of incentives, and you can literally save thousands of dollars on a replacement HVAC system.
All right. Now, what is a crossover system?
A crossover system is using a conventional indoor fan coil with an outdoor ductless condenser.
Oh, okay. All right. So I get it now.
They're basically modulating outdoor condensers, and the fan coil is a conventional piece of equipment, and you can do some different types of applications for that. You can go with a wall mounted air handler. You can do a conventional fan coil in an attic, or you could even do a gas furnace. Is where the technology is going.
So you have some flexibility there. Is what you're talking about, right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Once again, Randall on Open for Business from Advanced Air, myadvancedair.com. A couple of tips, though, when it comes to heat pumps. I have a heat pump, and I operate it the way you say, and that is just to more or less pick the temperature and set it. And it has worked out so well. The only thing we do, we take it down 1 degree at nighttime because we sleep better, you know, that way. But is that a pretty good way of working this most of the time?
That is the ideal way to operate a heat pump. I had a friend call the other day saying, hey, my system is not, I'm not able to get to heat. And I asked, well, do you have a furnace or a heat pump? And they have a heat pump, but they were operating it like a furnace. When you turn on a furnace, you're adding BTUs to a space, and that's what they're designed to do. However, when you're using a heat pump, which is about half of the systems in our area, they're designed to maintain temperature. So rather than adding BTUs to a space, you're maintaining a temperature, and you're actually, you know, removing heat and adding heat in a different way. And so they're designed to stay as close to set point as possible. So if you're setting back the temperature, you know, 5 or 6 degrees, or turning it off on the weekend and then coming home, whether after work or on a Sunday afternoon, and you're expecting your house to warm up from about 55 degrees to 80 degrees.
Oh, boy, you're going to have a long wait. And let me tell you, those heat strips, that essentially space heater within the heat pump system is just going to be running like crazy, right?
Yeah, and that's the costliest way to heat your home is with auxiliary heat. So an auxiliary heat on a heat pump kicks in to help supplement the call for heat until the equipment can catch up. And so if the margin on your set point is, you know, greater than a few degrees, I mean, your auxiliary heat could be on for hours, which is very expensive.
Yeah, and then and by the way, even at the best, your bill from Pacific Power is likely going to be pretty high right now, given the increases, 20% overall increase in power rates for the residents?
Yeah, over the last few months, we've heard and seen reports of an increase of about 20% on power. So, yeah, the cost of utility usage is going up for sure.
All right. Have they come up with new refrigerants to make everything else obsolete before? They seem to do this. This is coming from FedGov a little bit.
Yeah,
what's
absolutely.
The latest on that, huh?
We have new refrigerant coming out right now.
Hooray!
454B replacing R410A. So the clock is ticking, and that the manufacturers and the distributors have this year, 2025, to phase out, to sell all existing 410A equipment and produce and sell 454B equipment. So what that means is that if you're running on particularly older refrigerant like R22, which, you know, things prior to 2000, for example, there's a lot of R22 out there still, it's going to be even more costly to repair that equipment. We're going to start running into challenges with 410A equipment in the sense that sometimes you have to replace. And when you start going down the repair route, you can't mix and match refrigerants. So if you have a 5 or a 10 year old R410A system, you have to replace pretty much the whole thing with 454B if it conks out. So just keep that in mind as you're budgeting and as you're planning.
Like everything else, you're saying, in other words, thank you to the new rules, it will be, 10 to 20% more expensive, right?
Very likely, yeah.
Okay. Likely. But, of course, you could buy a 410A system right now, correct?
You can, but the quantity, the inventory is diminishing, and it diminishes pretty rapidly because, you know, everybody's trying to sell through their dead stock and then, release the 454. So there is a lot of stuff still available in 410A, but it is in the coming months going to be harder and harder to get.
Hey, before we take off here, Randall, and by the way, thank you. Get in touch with Randall, and they'll get together with you, whether you need a repair or you're looking to actually, replace your system. There are deals available. There are other things, but we just wanted to let you know about, hey, the political realities behind the scene. And I shared an email from you the other day, which is talking about the political reality of what Governor Kotek did with her PLA recently. Yeah. And this is saying that people like you can't qualify for state projects. Is that pretty much it? Could you explain and why this is such an attack on Southern Oregon in many ways? Many contractors.
Absolutely. Yeah, right before Christmas, Tina Kotek signed an executive order number 24-31, and that basically requires all bidders on commercial projects that are publicly funded to be in a project labor agreement or to be unionized, essentially. And what that's devastating for hundreds of Oregon construction companies that are not unionized, because it basically disqualifies us from the bid, which is really concerning because Boley has a whole prevailing wage apparatus that protects and provides equality in the bidding process to where non-unionized shops can go after public work by paying prevailing wage, basically matching union wage. Well, this executive order basically disqualifies any non-union shops from bidding public work.
Now, aren't most of the shops in Southern Oregon non-union?
Most of the HVAC shops, in fact, I think all of the HVAC shops in the Medford area are, I think there might be one that does service, but all are non-union. You know, there are a lot of union plumbing and a lot of union electrical contractors out there that we work closely with, but in our industry, HVAC, we are predominantly non-union, and it's cost prohibitive to be so because we're both commercial and residential contractors. There isn't enough public work down here to keep us busy, so therefore, we do a broader spectrum of
work. But what work is there? You would want everybody to have an equal shot at getting in on this. Is there any talk about a court challenge on something like this? Do you know within the industry? I don't know if you can or not. How do you challenge an EO?
Yeah, I'm vetting through all of that right now. There are some lobbyists that are opposed to this. We have Congress. We can kind of go through. We have some Republican Senate contacts that we're talking to. We have some trade associates that we're working through to get our concern, our voice out there. But I mean, this is it undermines the very nature of Boley, though, which is concerning. And I, as an employee, I'd be concerned about that too, because you have rights as a Boley protected employee. And, prevailing wage, I mean, and you can get into a whole nother discussion about the cost of labor on public works jobs versus private jobs, which is a whole nother show. But prevailing wage is the great equalizer between non-unionized and unionized shops.
This would appear to then be a political gift, is what was going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, it sure looks that way, given that state unions tend to be very generous donors to the Democratic politics. So it's something to keep in mind. And when you're putting a thumb on the scale of who can actually bid for projects, that is a real problem. Well, stay in touch with you on this one, Randall. I appreciate you coming in, at least sharing a bit about it, because I didn't quite understand it until you and Brad Bennington and others had kind of set me straight. This is what it really means, okay?
Oh, it's catastrophic for local companies that are bidding public jobs that are non-union.
All right. And it's, once again, myadvancedair.com. To find out more, you can call Randall and the whole crew there. Get in touch if you need help, sales, service, whatever. And it's 772, let's see, gosh, I've said this. 6866. Gosh, I've only done it for like 15 years with you. And it just kind of escaped me, but I'll get it done, okay? Hey, Randall, thanks for being on Open for Business, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable...
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
I appreciate you being here this morning. Some emails of the day. Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson in Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, while you wait, crowns available. We'll have a longer email segment tomorrow. We just ran a little bit long on the various great people we were talking about, but centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy that. Matt wrote me this morning here, Bill, Trump has no interest in owning Gaza. He asked Egypt and Jordan to take in Gaza. Maniac said that, these people are nuts and we don't want them here. Trump's negotiation is to push those countries and others to take these people in, and he wants neighboring, friendlier to USA countries to step in and rebuild Gaza and then run it. Trump is right with what Gaza could be if somebody else steps in. Could be a beautiful resort. Well, that could be interesting. Gaza Lago. How about that, Matt? All right. We'll see. We'll see about this. I think it's a bit of a distraction right now, but thanks for that, Matt. Yeah, 3 minutes after 7. Let me see what else we got going on. By the way, we have Senator Jeff Golden on the show tomorrow. We're going to have him on at 7:30 talking about Senate Bill 762, 79 too, for that matter. And Todd writes me this morning about this. Bill, from what little I've heard about Senator Golden's Senate Bill 79, it sounds like yet another attack on private property rights without compensation. Go get him. Well, we'll have a good conversation tomorrow on this, okay? So 7:30. And I'm glad that the senator is willing to come on as we keep these lines of communication open. Terry writes this morning, hypocrisy alive and well within the Democratic Party, Bill. Not one vote was cast for Musk that they're all talking about this morning. Now, the question for the Democrats is, how many primary votes were caught for, or how many primary votes, rather, were cast for Kamala Harris? It's a very interesting point. Thank you very much, Terry in Yreka. Anybody else I wanted to weigh in there? Bill, Wyden does not live in or represent most of Oregon, but then again, Salem seldom represents most of us either. He's a total call and should have been voted out years ago. Oregon JOP has failed us over and over by not insisting on something more than placeholder candidates election after election. Thank you very much for that, Sam. All right. On that note, the email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. And as we close out, remember the 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive at Kelly's Automotive Service is still going on right now. 40 ounces of peanut butter or 10 or more ounces of jelly to either the Grants Pass or Medford locations. They put a brand new windshield wipers on your car worth up to $35. And by the way, donations up to $500 matched by Tammy Schmidt from Rogue Solutions Accounting and Dr. Emily Sander from the Well Integrated Medicine. We talked with her yesterday. Very good stuff. And they're making a difference over at Kelly's Automotive. Help them out this week, would you? KMED Weather, brought to you this hour by Rotary Drilling Company, a division of Siskiyou Pump Service. From Field.